Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit aaccfoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Thanks, Jim, and happy Memorial Day to all of our listeners out there. Perhaps you served our country in the military, or you have a son or daughter who served. Well, today, we want to honor those who have lost a loved one in service and honor those who gave their lives fighting for freedom and righteousness. This National Day of Remembrance is specifically for those who gave all, who performed the ultimate duty. They laid down their life so that you and I could live and worship with complete freedom in the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. And with that, I present to you my conversation recorded earlier with a dear friend. He's U.S. Army retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, right here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family. U.S. Army retired Lieutenant General William G. Jerry Boykin. He's a man with numerous awards and commendations, including a Bronze Star, 2 Purple Hearts. Currently, Jerry serves as Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. Early in his military career, he became one of the original members of the U.S. Army's Delta Force. He then went on to command these elite warriors in combat operations. During his 36-year military career, General Boykin was involved in numerous high-profile missions, including the hunt for Pablo Escobar in Colombia and the Black Hawk Down incident in Mogadishu, Somalia. Also, Jerry's an ordained minister with a passion for the gospel, and he encourages Christians everywhere to become warriors in God's kingdom. General Boykin and his wife Ashley enjoy spending time with their 5 grown children and a growing number of grandchildren. I love that. Pray the church awakens and takes her rightful place. General, it's Memorial Day, and thank you again for your service to our country, FRC, what you're doing there, Family Research Council. And I want to say a special thank you to all those veterans out there listening today as well. We appreciate the great sacrifice, and we honor your service to our country. I also want to extend a thank you to the families of our military that have lost loved ones and those that carry on while their loved one is away serving in the military somewhere abroad. General, Memorial Day traditionally is seen as the start of summer, grilling, chilling, hitting the lake, but most importantly, Memorial Day
formerly known as Decoration Day, celebrated the last Monday in May, is a sacred day to commemorate all the men and women who have died in military service for our great country, and we honor their families. It has a special place in your heart, General. Tell us what's on your mind as you think about Memorial Day.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, it is a special day. It's a special day for me. And as you said, it is for those, it is an opportunity to remember those people who died serving their country. Now, it's okay that people honor all veterans, all people that have served the nation, but this is set aside specifically to honor those who died in combat or died in service. And for me, it's a very special day because I reflect on those people that I was with that didn't come home, or those people that I was with that took a long time to be able to find them and account for them, which is probably the worst scenario you can have, the MIAs. So for me, I reflect on the faces, the names, and the actions of those men that I fought with and ultimately saw them die.
General, when I was a boy, my dad, who, by the way, was part of what Tom Brokaw called the greatest generation ever, he was a World War II veteran, served on the USS Pennsylvania. He would take us to Dubois, Pennsylvania, and to what was known as Morningside Cemetery. And on Memorial Day weekend, it was quite a spectacular. You'd drive through there, you'd see a sea of American flags. And my dad would say things to us like, some gave all, or he'd tell us that freedom isn't free. And General, that's when I think it began to really sink in that sacrifice is what Memorial Day is all about. And we get to enjoy the freedoms in our country because of that great sacrifice of those who've gone on before us.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not a matter of people going off to war wanting to die for their country. The point is they're willing to. They're willing to take the risk. They're willing to make that sacrifice, as you just talked about. And many of them have. And again, one of the most sacred places in the country is a memorial cemetery for veterans who have fought, Arlington being the obvious one. But there are veteran cemeteries all over the country. So on this Memorial Day, may I encourage all of your listeners to go, and if you have anywhere near you, anywhere within a reasonable distance, you have a cemetery that has veterans there. There will be a percentage of those veterans that died in combat, and this would be a great time for you to go and visit that cemetery and pay your respects, put a flag on a grave. I do that for my dad and for a couple of other people. You know, I just put a flag on their grave or do something that recognizes their sacrifice.
General, boy, I'll tell you, you do this in honor because, again, it reminds us. And if we lose our traditions, and a lot of people want to scrub out our history, General, but boy, oh boy, this is a moment to go back and look at history. History's our greatest teacher, if we'll let it.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about how we have removed history from the public schools. And I talked to David Barton about this, and David is probably the finest historian, certainly on the founding of the nation. And David told me that he had looked at some of the new history standards, and he said it's abysmal. It leaves out the contributions and the sacrifices that America is responsible for. And instead, it talks about things that really make America seem like the enemy of freedom, the enemy of democracy, the enemy of representative government. And that is really a shameful thing because you did exactly what every American needs to do. You took your son, the next generation, to a cemetery on that special day so that he could see that it is proper to honor the men and women who have served this country, whether they died in combat or not. They served, and they were willing to put it all on the line. And that's what is so meaningful to all of us as Americans, is that there is a sector of our society that is willing to go out there, put their lives on the line, and a percentage of them are not going to come home. And others are going to come home, but they're going to be in bad shape for the rest of their lives because of their wounds, their injuries, because of the psychological impact that it has on them. So people need to understand that America has paid an incredible price, not only for America, not only for our nation and our people, but they've paid an incredible price. They've died in combat in places around the world. And most of our wars are fought around the world because they believe in this concept of freedom and representative government. And we are losing our focus on that, on the special sacrifices that have been made by America.
General, I read that your dad, too, was a World War II veteran. I think his name was Cecil. And General, when you were growing up, maybe he shared some of his stories with you. What kind of experience did he have, and what kind of impact did the war have on him?
You know, he didn't talk about it, not to me. I got very much, very, very few things out of him with regards to that. But I would listen when he and his brothers, or he and his mates that were there with him, would talk about it. I would listen intently. I would listen with great fascination as they talked about their wartime experience. But it wasn't something that he talked to me about to any great degree. And I think that is because, as it brings up emotions in me to talk about him and his wartime experiences, it did the same thing for him. And he didn't want me to see him in an emotional state. Mm-hmm. Now, ultimately, I did. And, you know, when Saving Private Ryan came out and my dad was wounded at Normandy, he was wounded there driving a Higgins boat, delivering the 1st Infantry Division wow. there. And so when I finally pieced it all together and found out, I thought, my goodness, he's more of a hero than I realized as I was growing up. But he was wounded there, and he was not conscious of what had happened until he got back to Bethesda Naval Hospital, where he woke up really out of an induced coma and realized there was something wrong. And then the doctors told him that he had lost his left eye. And it was a shock to him. But nonetheless, he went right back to the farm and went right back to work, married his sweetheart, started raising his family. And what is incredible is a disabled veteran had the opportunity to join the Army during the Korean War, and if he could pass the physical. And he did. He passed the physical and went back for the Korean War.
Wow.
And that is something that, for me, it is one of the proudest things that I can tell about my dad. He was wounded in World War II, but he wanted to serve his country so much that he went back in the Korean War. And he even went to Vietnam. He worked for the Marine Corps, and he went to Vietnam, to Da Nang, at the air base there at Da Nang, and served there in that war as well as a Marine Corps civilian. So my dad's an unusual man, but he left me a legacy.
Yeah, he did.
And he built a foundation in my thought patterns and in my heart. He built a foundation of service and sacrifice. And that's why I am so proud of him.
What a legacy and love for our country, General. I know God called you uniquely to serve our country too. You spent the majority of your life in military service. You rose to Lieutenant General. In the midst of that journey, I'm sure you learned a lot about military leadership and more. General, I wanted to ask, you know, when I think back on World War II, I think too about my dad who was over there. He would tell us those wartime stories of being on that USS Pennsylvania. I'd sit at his feet just mesmerized by what it was like. But General, the United States back in those days, I think they struggled going into World War II. They pretty much avoided the conflict, didn't they, up front? And then it wasn't until Pearl Harbor when that went down that everything went sideways then. But General, can you reflect on what was going on in our country during that time?
The country was very divided as we went into World War II. The country wanted to support our allies in Europe, especially the British. And we did that through a thing we called the Lend-Lease Program, but which was we would lend them or allow them to lease military equipment, tanks, airplanes, even ships. So we wanted to help them. But the majority of the Americans, because we were just coming out of World War One, the majority of Americans didn't want to put boots on the ground over there until the 7th of December, and when the Japanese attacked us at Pearl Harbor in 1941. As Roosevelt said, December 7th, 1941, yeah. A day that will live in infamy. Well, it was a day that lived in infamy. And that is why it's so important for us to pass on to our children everything we know about that period, everything we know about that, because when those men hit those beaches in Normandy, they were there to win. There was no turning back. There was no expiration date in terms of how long they were going to be there, like we did in Vietnam. They were there to win. They were there until they won, or until they were sent home either wounded or in a body bag. And that is such a story that is so important for the next generation to know about that, but they don't. They don't know about it. And they're not taught about it. And again, it comes back to this whole issue of history. What do you know about American history? And if you don't know about the stories that came out of World War II of the incredible heroism, but also the incredible sacrifice, then you're missing an important part of our history. And it'll make you proud to be an American if you know the story of those men and women that left the farms and the factories and that left all their jobs in America and went off to war. And when the war was over, they came back right back, most of them, to the same or similar jobs, but they asked for nothing. They asked for no special treatment, except they wanted to be able to go to a veterans hospital and have their medical needs taken care of, because there were many, and many of them were psychological. They wanted to be able to get treatment by reputable doctors through a VA center. That was really the thing that they wanted. And they asked for nothing more. They went on with life. And that's why Tom Brokaw calls them the greatest generation. As they went to war, they came home and they went back to work, and they didn't say anything with regards to what they experienced, unless it was to another veteran. They didn't go around bragging about what they did, unless it was with another veteran. But he also didn't ask for anything other than what was absolutely reasonable, which was take care of my medical care.
General, you and I've talked a few times about your service, 36-year military career, 13 years in the Delta Force. You were involved in a number of high-profile missions, including the Iran hostage rescue attempt, Black Hawk Down incident in Mogadishu, Somalia. General, there was a time when you witnessed the horrors of battle and the loss of life of our soldiers. I think five of your soldiers were drugged through the streets of Mogadishu. General, can you take us back there and tell us what happened in your heart, what God did?
Yeah, it was the 3rd of October, 1993, and we were fighting in the streets of Mogadishu, Somalia, as you have already pointed out. At the end of that 18-hour firefight, I watched a 5-ton truck come back into our base, and I knew what was in that truck, and I did not want to drop that tailgate, but I knew that I had to, and I reached up and dropped that tailgate, and there were the bodies of my men that had been killed in that 18-hour fight. You know, we know it as Black Hawk Down now, but to me, it was the most devastating thing I'd ever seen. And I looked, and the dead were on the bottom, and the wounded were stacked up on top of the dead. And I don't have the words or the vocabulary to be able to tell you what it did to me. It broke me. It broke me emotionally. As I said, God, where were you? Where were you? How could you let this happen, God? And when we got everybody evacuated, the dead and wounded, we got them all evacuated. I went over to my bunk just as it got dark there in Mogadishu, and I sat down on my bunk, and And I wanted to talk to God, but my anger against God was burning like you wouldn't believe. Now, I know some people say, you got angry with God. Yes, I got angry with God, and I'm not the only one that's been angry with God. But his anger, his love is much greater than my anger. So I learned that very quickly. But I just sat there praying, saying, why, God? Where were you? And then the answer came. And the answer was, there is no God. There's no God. If there was a God, this would not have happened. And you know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And it was just like that man named Peter that sat by a fire one night and denied him 3 times after walking with him for 3 years and watching him do miracles. And then Peter sat there and said, no, I don't know him. No, I don't know him. He says it, even says he cursed. Well, that's where I was. I was sitting there saying, there is no God. I don't know any God. Until that moment came that the Lord spoke to me. And I broke again. I broke and began to weep. But I opened my Bible. I said, God, I don't understand. I do not understand what happened here. And I opened my Bible. And I said, just give me something. Wherever I open this, Lord, give me something. I opened my Bible and I opened it to Proverbs 3:5. I had marked it. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thine own understanding. You know, there are things that we, with our carnal human minds, we're never going to understand on this side of the Jordan River until we cross over to spend eternity with Jesus Christ.
General, you've made me appreciate Memorial Day a whole lot more. And I know this, righteousness exalts a nation. And Romans 13:7 says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute's due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. Happy Memorial Day. Hey, get out, fly a flag, put a flag on a grave at a national cemetery, visit a monument, do something to show your appreciation and great love for this country and for the God that we serve, who loves and joys in the freedoms that we all can partake in.
I think it's only fitting that we end today's episode with the playing of Taps. Thank you for joining us here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Happy Memorial Day. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops. So you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.